was one of three suspended from the party for refusing to vote against their convictions, says he has no regrets about going against the party line. The party withdrew the whip from Declan Boyle alongside former Lord Mayor of Belfast, Councillor Patrick Convery, and the Deputy Group Leader in Council, Councillor Kate Mullen, after they abstained from a motion on Monday, which had been brought by a member of the Green Party that called for an end to harassment of women outside reproductive rights clinics in Belfast. Declan Boyle, he spoke about it. He said he's disappointed the SDLP has suspended him for being pro-life, a stance he thought his party actually supported. He added he doesn't support the harassment of women outside clinics, but he does believe in standing up for the unborn. Now, we've seen in the news in the past that anti-abortionist activists stand outside reproductive clinics in Belfast to protest against abortion, notably at the Mary Stopes Clinic on Great Victoria Street. So were these councillors right to abstain, therefore seeming to support the harassment of women outside the clinics, or should they have actually supported the motion and gone with the party whip? Well, we're going to be talking about this now, and I've two people who will have polarised opinions on the issue: Liam Gibson from the Society for the Protection of the Unborn Child and Gráinne Taggart from Amnesty International. I'm going to say good morning to Liam first of all. Liam, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Liam, there's a bit of a rider with your contribution to the programme, according to the production team. You have told the producer that if I am not balanced in the conversation, you will hang up the phone.
Yes, Frank. I mean, I just wanted to make that clear before we came on the air. I mean, I've been aware of some of the previous interviews with pro-life speakers on your programme, and I wasn't terribly impressed.
Do you think I should be protesting here on behalf of the unborn? Do you think that is my job?
No, I think you should be balanced and do a good job of be even-handed and not one-sided.
And does that not reflect very negatively on your organisation? The first thing you say when you guest on a phone-in programme that has a reputation for being balanced, you tell the producer, if the presenter isn't balanced, you're going to hang up the phone. Does that say that there's no balance in relation to your analysis of the much more important issue than whether or not I'm balanced, the important issue of whether or not women are being harassed in the city centre?
Don't take it personally, Frank. I mean, I say that to every interviewer before an interview. It's simply the media have a very particular policy on this area, and that's there's no escaping that. I mean, it's yourself, Stephen Nolan on the BBC. I mean, it's don't take it personally.
Liam, you're paranoid.
Frank, I mean, you invited me on here to talk about the issue of abortion. I'm quite happy to talk about the feelings of the media if that's what you want me to do, but it's up to you.
Liam, you were the one that set down the ultimatum. You said to the producer, if he's not balanced, I'm going to hang up the phone. That puts anyone who's trying to present a programme at a difficulty.
Well, Frank, I'm sure I'm not the most difficult thing you're going to have to deal with today. But seriously, if you invite me onto your show, I'm going to accept an invitation, provided it's going to be balanced and fair.
Well, this programme, trust me, Liam, and I appreciate the fact that you may have listened to it from time to time. Trust me, we do set out to give balance in everything that we do. However, I've got a genuine concern that if you're representing an organisation that thinks everything is skewed against you, then it's difficult for you to win an argument, to get people to listen to you, to have your debate the most successful on the platform.
Well, why do you think I think everything's skewed against me? I asked for even-handed, fair approach. I mean, is that too much to ask for? Is that beyond the pale with U105? I mean, is it really? I mean, I shouldn't have to ask for that, but, I mean, is it too much to ask for?
You don't have to ask for it. You're the first person in 11 years of me doing this radio programme who came on and actually asked for that before we started the conversation.
Well, I actually had a conversation with your producer, not with you. And, Frank, if I was to actually go over the times whenever you were very, very hostile to people presenting a pro-life point of view, and I could list some of them now, but I don't want to, because that's really off topic.
Well, I would have been equally as hostile, if that is the right word. I don't think it's a word I associate with myself, but I would have been equally as demanding off a contributor from, say, Amnesty International, who would support a pro-choice initiative, as I would have been of anyone representing the pro-life argument. However, let's get down to the main issue here. And it has to do with, and this is the crucial bit, with harassment of women outside the clinics. This issue at City Council was not about abortion. It was about whether or not the women are being harassed. A woman,
Frank, you said yourself in the introduction it was about abortion.
I'm saying to you,
if you invited me on your programme because I'm a pro-life representative talking about abortion. So, and I have to correct you before you carry on any further. It's alleged harassment. There's no evidence of harassment.
You didn't even allow me to finish the question.
Well, far away.
This issue is about the harassment of women outside these clinics much more than it is about abortion or the protection of the unborn child. Surely you can protect the unborn child without having protest groups on the streets in Belfast on a regular basis, putting women who are in a dilemma under pressure.
First of all, it's alleged harassment. There's no evidence of anybody suffering any harassment, any violence, any intimidation. The escorts who take clients in and out of Mary Stopes were body cameras. If there was any photographic evidence of harassment or violence directed towards the escorts, the staff, people from the public, clients, anybody, that we would know about it. So there's no evidence that there's actually harassment. These are allegations based on completely unfounded allegations based on the Mary Stopes' commercial interest in making sure that their clients do not receive pro-life information from the street councillors outside their facility.
Whether Mary Stopes is doing the right thing or not, I'm going to emphasise this to you, is not the issue. It's how the women are treated as they walk past the protesters. If I was arriving for work this morning and a significant number of people with placards or with pamphlets were waiting out on the Ormo Road for me, I'd be, my goodness me, what's this about? If I was arriving...
Hold on, wait.
Liam, just wait till I'm finished. If I was arriving on a regular basis and seeing people in the vicinity of UTV, whether they were harassing me verbally, whether they were coming over towards me, whether they were pointing a finger at me or not, is not the issue. It's their presence there, objecting to me taking steps to do something that I have the right to do. That can certainly be deemed as harassment.
There's nobody... It is against the law to cause an obstruction. It's against the law to harass people. It's against the law to intimidate them. That's not actually happening, because if that was happening on a daily basis, the police would be involved. There would be all over the media, as I say, that there's photographic video evidence there. If this was actually taking place, it's a complete fabrication. The people who are trying to reach out and tell women that there is an alternative to abortion, that they don't need to go through with it, they're being vilified, demonised, and that's just a step towards criminalisation, because this is all about freedom of speech. This is about attacking pro-life freedom of speech in the same way as the Life organisation is being threatened with withdrawal of its funding in England because it's pro-life. The way the clinics in Dublin are being demonised because they're offering an alternative to abortion, and it's the same thing that's happening in Belfast. These are unfounded allegations, which unfortunately the SDLP in its stupidity have not actually verified, and it walks straight into an elephant trap, which puts them in a position of actually backing up an organisation, a commercial organisation, which kills hundreds of thousands of babies every year globally.
Liam, do you not accept... Liam, without going into the stats of how many unborn babies are being killed, let's get back to the issue, which is the protesters being present on the street in the vicinity of the clinics. The person who is in a dilemma, who's going in for advice... But hold on, Liam. Hold on till I paint the picture. You have women who are going into the premises, who may be facing some sort of dilemma, who are getting to a critical crisis in their life, or who may not be, who may just be simply going in because they want to go in. But the point is, they are going about their legal daily routine, and they are being targeted by protesters in the street, even if they are the politest people.
What do you mean
people,
by targeted? What do you mean by targeted?
The very fact that
somebody offers them a leaflet.
The very
is that
fact
targeting.
It is, of course, it's targeting because you.
Well, why? I mean, I get.
Okay, well,
I
I'll tell you why.
If you allow me to speak,
I will tell you I'll explain it to you. A woman is walking in to a premises in Belfast. She may be going through a dilemma in her life. There is 1, 2, 3, 10, whatever number of people outside the clinic.
And you don't even know.
Whatever number it happens to be, it varies. It's not the same number all the time. So whether it's one person outside the clinic or 500 people outside the clinic, the point is that woman is going into the clinic and you or people along with you or other members of your group are facing that woman down in maybe the politest of circumstances, with a little leaflet or with a placard or maybe with a very polite comment, but they are, and this is the point, they are putting her in a position where she feels harassed because they are trying to get a point across to her when she should be able to continue on with her lawful passage of the day. That is stressful, that is difficult, and that is why so many women feel they are being harassed. Can you not see that?
Why are you saying that? Why are you talking in such vague terms? So many women feel harassed. I mean, you're actually just making an assumption that what Mary Stopes is telling you is the God's honest truth. I mean, really, there is no harassment involved whenever somebody's standing and offers you a leaflet and says, you know, there is an alternative to abortion. You don't have to have an abortion. Now, actually,
it's a leaflet that very often has a picture of a dead fetus on it. It's a leaflet
Trust me, Liam. Mary Stopes.
Liam, trust me.
Outside Mary Stopes.
I have seen many leaflets.
Know what's happening outside Mary Stopes? So I think you're making that bit up.
I have seen many leaflets and many placards.
Frank, you're talking about this particular protest. You're not talking about many placards. You're not talking about demonstrations.
Okay, do people... let me ask you, Liam, a question. Let me ask you a simple question then. Do people say the rosary outside Mary Stopes to put maybe a young Catholic mother, a young Catholic woman who is pregnant, who could be a mother, who doesn't want to have another child, do they... say
well,
the rosary. Say,
anybody who says the rosary or prays outside, but it's, okay, as
Liam,
far as I'm aware,
Liam, are
it's
you not
against the law?
I'm not suggesting it's against the law. I'm talking
but you're
about
suggesting that they shouldn't do it.
I'm talking about the harassment of them. I'm talking about the feeling that woman is going through.
Freedom of speech.
I'm talking about the feeling that woman is going through. She may come from a Catholic background. She's in a dilemma. And someone is there saying the rosary for her.
Why would that upset anybody?
When you're in a dilemma and someone is
saying the rosary or praying quietly, why would that upset anyone?
Because...
It only upsets Mary Stopes because they lose clients. Because the actual outreach, the pro-life outreach, actually does deprive them of clients. Because a lot of women... once they find out that there is an alternative, that there is support, that there is an alternative to killing their own child, they will take that alternative. And sometimes it only takes one person to say, listen, don't do it, you're in a panic, but we can get you help, you don't have to go through this. And Mary Stopes are losing clients, seriously losing clients, because of the pro-life presence outside their Belfast facility.
Liam, no. I couldn't care less if Mary Stopes fails or succeeds. I couldn't care if they never get another customer.
Because we're talking about an organisation that uses lethal acts of violence
it's
against
not
children
my,
and exploits
Liam,
women.
It's not my job to care on this programme. It's my job to facilitate a conversation between two people, and I'm going to grow on you, Taggart, in a second, but you don't seem to be able to accept that the handing out of the leaflets or the saying of the rosary, which is a really interesting weapon to use, because the rosary is such a special prayer within the Catholic faith. And if women are saying, or men saying, the rosary in the street, the suggestion is there that the person the rosary is being said for is a lost soul, is a sinner, is someone who needs to change direction. And if that, while you're going through your normal, lawful routine, isn't harassment, I don't know what harassment is.
I don't think you know what harassment is, because really, so seeing somebody standing saying a prayer is not harassment. Frank, I think you're really losing a grip on reality if you think that that's intimidation and it should be legally prevented.
It's the circumstances of where the rosary's been said, Liam.
Frank, you seem to have an idea that you can restrict freedom of speech just on where you want it to be without affecting everyone's freedom of speech. Now, if you stop somebody from saying a prayer in a street, then you've reduced religious freedom, freedom of speech, and freedom of assembly in one fell swoop, and that's going to have huge ramifications.
Yeah, Liam, you're not prepared to listen. You're not prepared to listen. You're simply not prepared to listen. The bottom line is, you know as well as you're sitting or standing there, that I couldn't care less whether people say 100 rosaries a day out and about in public. It's saying the rosary to vulnerable women in a dilemma whenever they are facing a crisis. That adds to their difficulty. And you know that's why the rosary is being said in the street, to make those young women feel guilty.
You're being ridiculous. You're being ridiculous.
Stay with me if you...
You're thinking that you can actually read the minds and see the motivations of people who are standing in the street you've never met and know nothing about.
Stay with me if you don't mind.
That's more absurd than the claims that Mary Stopes are making.
Okay. Well, I've an understanding of why people say the rosary. It was said in my family as well. So I do have some idea of what I'm talking about. Liam, I would appreciate...
Did you ever try to intimidate someone with the rosary?
It would be...
I don't think that's people's motivation, whatever they're saying.
It would be very easy to do it by saying it in front of a woman in a dilemma who may come from a Catholic background, who is finding it very difficult to take the step that she feels she has the right to take.
I think it would be very hard to establish that was the case and it was done to intimidate anyone. And I don't think it would not last a second in court.
Okay, please stay with me there. I'd appreciate if you would stay with me, because I'm also very aware that Gráinne Taggart from Amnesty International is patiently waiting on the line. Gráinne Taggart, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Liam does make a point that is vital here, and it is supported by so many people, the length and breadth of humanity. There is no need for these babies to die.
Well, there's a few points that have been made that I just want to have the opportunity to address. The first is that governments have an obligation to take effective measures to protect and guarantee women's rights to health, non-discrimination and privacy as they seek healthcare information and services at clinics. That should be done in such a way that they are free from harassment and intimidation. And often what we see, not just outside Mary Stopes, but other clinics like Family Planning Association, it does amount to obstruction of their access to that healthcare. And that's something that absolutely has to be addressed. And I know that Claire Bailey, if and when the Assembly is restored, is seeking to look at that issue.
However, Gráinne, he does have a point, and the protesters do have a point. If they are standing on the street politely, they have the right to be there, and they are interested in saving the life of a non-born child, and that is a life that Amnesty International doesn't see as having any rights.
Okay, let me just address this issue, because I have to say it's the relentless assertion by anti-choice activists of their right to freedom of speech and their right to protest that somehow trumps a woman's right to privacy and freedom from intimidation or harassment. It doesn't. It's not a right that is absolute, and it has to be balanced and weighted against the rights of others. Now, when there is an organised campaign of intimidation outside these clinics, it shifts the focus away then from the impact of their actions on women to a debate on the limitations of protest and free speech. So I want to keep the focus where it needs to be here.
But is it intimidation? But Gráinne, is it? But Gráinne, is it intimidation? I have put that to Liam Gibson with regards to the pamphlets. Sometimes sometimes you see posters that you wouldn't want to see, and I've even used the argument about the subtle harassment of the Holy Rosary being brought into it, where a woman is going to be made feel guilty. If you look at it in the other light, as Liam Gibson has suggested, you know, the prayerful contemplation of the Rosary, many would say, is a beautiful thing. Others would say that if you politely hand out a pamphlet, you may get the message across to a young vulnerable woman who, going into that clinic, will change her mind, and the life of a non-born child will be saved, and that child will grow to contribute to society and be beautiful among us.
Okay, so I think your listeners can decide for themselves whether they think that images on leaflets and graphic banners and cameras filming women as they enter and leave the premises amounts to harassment and intimidation. In my opinion, it absolutely does. And we have to ask ourselves the question as well. There is a reason why escorts are there. For example, in Mary Stopes, how many other circumstances does it exist that is actually necessary? It's necessary because women are being confronted with people outside these clinics in such a way that they are finding to be harassing and intimidating. Now, I wonder how many appointments Liam and others have had with people standing outside with leaflets, graphic imagery, and offering opinions on their healthcare. The bottom line is this. Women are not wanting or inviting a debate before their appointment. The debate, if you like, in terms of pro and anti-choice, should be between us as organisations, not women seeking healthcare. That is not the platform for it. And they need to be able to access this healthcare. And bear in mind, as you rightly pointed out earlier, it is not just abortion services and information that these clinics offer. So what we need to do is ensure that women have a safe area through which they can pass to access their healthcare.
Yes, but Gráinne, you're not going to protect the unborn child. Someone like Liam and his organisation are actually needed to do it because they don't have many voices.
Well, we have to remember that we have some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the world. Our laws carry the harshest criminal penalties in the whole of Europe. So we already have numerous legislative barriers, as well as barriers in policy and practice for women here. So rather than add to the very restrictive barriers which already exist, we should be lifting those in a way that respects the rights of women.
Liam, I'll allow you to come in there if you don't mind.
First of all, abortion is not healthcare. It's got no medical benefits. It's an act, it's a lethal act of violence against an unborn child. It's not healthcare. It's not recognised as healthcare in Northern Ireland. That's another myth, really, because we know that after 50 years of abortion legalised in Britain, that there are no benefits for women at all. It's actually very, very detrimental, both on their physical health and their emotional health. So in every abortion, there's two victims. The mother is a victim as well as the child. And really, women are not being given this information. We know from undercover reports done by journalists from the Daily Mail that sometimes women who get counselling from Mary Stopes have 22 seconds of counselling before the abortion's approved. We know that sometimes the doctors approve the abortions without even meeting a woman. We also know that there's been 2,600 catalogued failures of safety procedures and illegality from Mary Stopes' abortion facilities the length and breadth of England and Wales. This was compiled by the Care Quality Commission, who withdrew Mary Stopes' licence to perform abortions for a number of months. And there's a petition now that's being promoted by the Life Organisation and SPUC to strip Mary Stopes permanently of its licence because of these terrible failures, disastrous health practices that put women's lives at risk.
Okay.
And I would suggest that anybody who wants to sign that petition can do so by going to www.spuc.org.uk.
And in the meantime, will the protests continue outside?
That's something that the ACLP needs to know about.
Okay.
They're actually standing up for the interests of a commercial organisation which is responsible for the mistreatment of women, catalogue of disasters, including deaths of women who have been so badly treated at their facilities in England and Wales.
But what about
this is something that the SDLP needs to think about.
Okay, but it's not just
disciplining pro-life councillors.
Okay, but it's not just the SDLP, because the pro-life party very obviously is the DUP, and they voted with the motion.
Yes, which was scandalous, and I think that people who voted for the SDLP and the DUP at the last election because of their pro-life manifesto should definitely get in touch and complain about what's happened in the City Hall on Monday night.
Yeah, but Liam,
is it threats of discipline towards these three councillors who could not go along with a pro-abortion motion before the City Council?
Yes, but this is the whole thing, isn't it? You can be pro-life and still have a situation where you don't need to be protesting on the street. It's about the protesting and the harassment, whether you call it harassment or not, on the street.
This is not unique to Northern Ireland. This happens everywhere that there's any pro-life presence, any type of, and it doesn't even have to be at a clinical situation like the facility in Belfast. We can see that the hit piece that was done by the Times against the Ask Magella clinic in Dublin. Now the health minister in the Republic is threatening to close down what he's calling bogus or rogue agencies. This is actually just about stopping women from hearing the pro-life arguments and some information on what actually they're signing up for whenever they go for an abortion.
I think it's actually, sorry, Jess, I think I'm not a spokesperson for the Times or the reporter Alan Coyne who uncovered this, but actually what they did uncover was that Ask Magella was giving wrong information, misleading about the consequences of abortion, including points that we have heard, unfortunately, anti-choice organisations raise on more than one occasion, that it causes breast cancer, for example. But look, the bottom line is this. Women are autonomous individuals. They are perfectly capable of thinking for ourselves in terms of what is an appropriate form of healthcare for us in these circumstances where termination of pregnancy, for example, may be needed. So for Liam to then try and assert on women's behalf on the risks and consequences of this, women will be advised in the same way that we are on any other form of healthcare, the pros and cons of the various approaches, and then we decide that for ourselves. We do not need organisations like SBUC and others standing outside these clinics trying to force their opinions on women. They're not asked for.
Having said that, Gráinne, you make it sound like as if it's men who are doing the protesting. Liam may be the spokesperson. The vast majority of people who are protesting on behalf of pro-life are women.
Well, you say the vast majority, and again, you know, on this issue, I think we just have to remember that, yes, you're absolutely right, that there exists a range of opinion from both sexes, but really, as far as I'm concerned and as far as Amnesty concerned, it's the voice of women who need these services is what matters most. And when they are being confronted with a presence, an almost permanent presence outside these clinics, the outworkings of that is that they do feel intimidated, they do feel harassed. That is why it has given rise to a need for escorts, for example, at Mary Stopes, and that's not acceptable.
Okay, Gráinne Taggart, thank you. And in the meantime, Liam, these protests, the presence outside the clinics, they will continue.
I can only assume so. I'm not actually involved with the organisation of the protesting, but I know that these people are very committed. They're very peaceful. If you go along, Frank, and speak to them, you'd find out that they're not violent, they're not intimidating, they're not abusive.
But they're there. I don't think anyone said they were violent. We're going to go back over old ground here. It's their presence that's their...
It was made on Monday night in the City Hall that there was violence involved.
But it's the presence. The presence, by their very presence towards a vulnerable person can be seen as intimidating. You don't accept that.
There's a difference between someone feeling intimidated and the line being crossed, something becomes unlawful. And once you start deciding that the speech that you do not like should be silenced, and that's a very, very dangerous precedent to set. Now, before I go, Frank, I would suggest that SDLP voters should phone up party headquarters and complain about the threats of discipline towards these three councillors who are only followed the party platform saying that they were pro-life and would refuse to vote. They didn't go against anything in the party. And I don't think that it's justifiable that they're being targeted and vilified by the pressure that's being put on them by pro-abortion organisations. The SDLP headquarters, you can call it up by 90247700, and I would suggest that especially voters in the Belfast City Council area should get on the SDLP and tell them that not to discipline three members of the party who were actually faithful to their conscience and actually stood up against the interests of a one of the largest abortion providers in the world.
Okay, okay. I do have to leave it there. I appreciate your input, Liam. Grainne Taggart, thank you.
Sorry, Frank, just one final very quick point on SDLP. I have to say, the SDLP, like all parties, should note that the public support reform of not only our abortion laws in relation to FFA, sexual crime, etc., but also looking at the issue of decriminalisation of abortion. So the SDLP policy and other party policies needs to catch up to where the public are in this issue.
Okay,
thank you.
Liam and Grainne, thank you very much indeed. We should emphasise, of course, as Liam says that about the SDLP, that there's no suggestion that everyone who votes SDLP is actually pro-life. Right, 22 minutes to 10. Good morning.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.